Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Raising Young Achievers podcast. I'm Sharia Woods, your host, and today we are talking about summer. You may have heard of this concept called summer slide, right? Students spend most of their year learning in school, they gain all these skills, and then they're off for 2 months, not exercising those skills, not practicing those skills, and then they start to lose some of them just because they haven't practiced them much over the summer. Of course, they don't forget everything that they learned during the school year, but when the fall comes, they're not as fresh on the topics that they learned. They need to catch up a bit. And studies have shown that this can amount to as much as 2 months of loss of learning progress. And on his face, it's like, oh, they'll catch up. It'll be fine. But when you have a group of kids that are losing knowledge, and then you have another group of kids that have all of these enrichment activities and different things that they're doing over the summer, and they're actually gaining knowledge, you begin stacking a disadvantage. And so that month or two of learning loss stacks year over year over year, and eventually kids can end up years behind their peers just because of what they lost in the summer. So what I like to think about when I think about summer for my kid is, how do I turn it into the summer slingshot? How do I figure out what my child needs to work on, what they need to learn, and then in the summer, give them strategic opportunities to work on those things? And over the past years, we've done a lot of camps. That's been a big part of our summer. And it's been important for Sean because he is naturally very shy. And so it's given him opportunities to be in different spaces with different kids. Some of the camps he did last year actually had him give a short presentation at the end. So we got some practice with presenting. Of course, we do the typical math and reading, writing, things like that over the summer. But I really use it as an opportunity to think about, what gaps does he have and what can I be doing to help him fill those gaps over the summer? And so that's what I suggest you do as well, as you think about turning your child's summer into a summer slingshot, propelling them forward to have an even stronger year next year. If you have an opportunity, I know this recording is coming out really close to the end of the school year, but if you have an opportunity to just ask the teacher, even if the school year is over, they may still be on email, and just reach out and say, hey, like, what do you think my child needs to be working on? If you didn't have a chance to have that conversation before the end of the school year, you can also ask your child. Like, a lot of times they know what they struggle with and what they would like to get better with. And so that's a great way to engage them. Like, hey, what was really hard for you this year? Like, what do you wish wasn't so hard? How could we maybe work on that this summer? Another tool you have to gauge what they need to work on is to look at their grades and their test scores. Grades can sometimes be misleading because you could have an A or a B and still not fully understand all the concepts. But the test scores, those standardized tests, will give you a good benchmark of how they're doing compared to the nation, their campus, just to give you some hints of where to start. If all else fails, just go with your instinct of where you think they need to improve. Summer is really a great opportunity when you think about it. There's no homework coming home. There's no redos. There's no projects from the teacher taking up all your time in the evening. So even if they're in camps or, you know, with grandma during the day, when they're coming home, you have that extra time to be able to layer in some enrichment. So I want us to be mindful about that and just be thinking about what types of things we want to do for our kids in the summer. So what I'm going to do today is walk you through my list of activities and different things that I want to do with Sean this summer. Full disclosure, I usually have very ambitious goals for what we're going to accomplish in the summer, and those 8 weeks fly by. And so I will probably have to do an episode at the end of the summer just to say, like, this is what we thought would happen. This is what actually happened. But I think it's fun for me to share all of my ideas with you, and then you can pick and pull which ones you might want to add to your plans for the summer. First, I'll start with math. Math has been the most challenging subject for Sean, and so we've been doing a ton of enrichment this year. It's been like a 2-year process that we've been doing a lot of enrichment with him for math. And he's starting to catch up in the sense that his enrichment is like just behind the curriculum, like just behind. Like, he's doing Kumon, and he just got to the level in Kumon where they do division with remainders, or he's supposed to start it this week. There was actually drama about that, but that's a whole other conversation. And then he had his quiz for division with remainders because his teacher is starting the 4th grade curriculum at the end of the school year. And so he had his quiz right before he started in Kumon. it didn't go well. And so, you know, it's just like, man, if he had just been able to take this quiz in 3 weeks, he would have had the prep that he needed to be successful on it. So he's just right on the cusp. And so I feel like fourth grade is his year for math. So we are trying our hardest to hang in there with Kumon. It has been a struggle. Anybody who has kids in Kumon knows what I'm talking about, because they have these daily practice exercises, and getting kids to do them can be really tough. I would say a nightmare sometimes. And so we are barely hanging on, but we've been doing Kumon for 2 years and I feel like we're right on the cusp. And so we're trying to hang in there and get him ahead of the curriculum in Kumon, and to get him to start getting some of that positive reinforcement in the classroom for all the hard work that he's been putting in for 2 years. So we want to continue doing that. If we're successful, then hopefully he'll be ahead of the curriculum in the fall as far as his math facts go. So there's Kumon. We also do Khan Academy. And so the difference between Kumon and Khan Academy, there are many differences between them, but we use them in two different ways. Kumon is more like math facts, helping your child really understand multiplication, division, addition, subtraction, being able to do that mental math, that memorization, which used to be a bigger part of school than it is now. Now it's more about conceptual learning. And so I personally feel like it's still very helpful for kids to have that memorization, even though we want them to understand why addition works and why multiplication works and like the theory behind that. Just knowing your math facts makes everything easier. They're taking these standardized tests. They're needing to get answers quickly, very precisely. And so we use Kumon for that. Khan Academy is aligned with Common Core curriculum. And so it's very similar to what they're doing in school. We are in Texas, so we don't use Common Core. We have the TEKS. That's what our standards are called. But they are very aligned with Common Core. And so when I found Khan Academy, I loved it because I was like, oh, this is exactly what these worksheets look like. These confusing problems that I don't understand. There's a video that explains it. And so we've been leveraging both of those now. Kumon, you go in person a couple days a week, you do homework at home, and you pay for that. Khan Academy is completely free. So if I had found Khan Academy first, I don't know if we would be doing Kumon, but we've already been so invested in it, we kind of want to just keep going if we can. So we're going to keep using Khan Academy as well. Where we are with that right now, he started that this fall, or maybe the summer before the year. I can't remember if it was fall or summer. He started that in third grade. I have a freebie on my website where I walk through how we use Khan Academy. And so I'll drop that in the show notes if you're interested in leveraging it the same way that we started. Because when we started, we put in his MAP test score. So if your school district takes the MAP test, it's a national test. A lot of districts take it. You can look at your child's math scores, and they have these sub scores, and you can put them into Khan Academy Mapper's dashboard, and they will give you recommended practice problems. So that's where we started. A lot of the practice that he was doing was in second grade math. Some of it was third grade, but most of it was second grade. And so we worked through all the second grade stuff. And then once I got him on grade level, we started just using the regular third grade module, because it's just a little easier to navigate than the mappers. Once you try it out, you'll figure that out. But the mappers was great because since he was working behind grade level, I didn't want him to know that. And they don't give you visibility into which grade levels are which. And so it took away some of that frustration of like, oh, like this is second grade stuff. I shouldn't have to be working on this, because he couldn't tell. So that was excellent. So now we're in the third grade curriculum. He's in third grade. So that's been great. And he is about halfway done with that third grade curriculum. So my goal for Khan Academy for him this summer is to finish the third grade curriculum. I would love it if he could start the fourth grade curriculum, but I'm becoming more realistic that maybe that won't happen because he's working through pretty slowly. You know, you're asking them to do this extra stuff and they don't necessarily want to do it. And so it can be slow, but my goal is to just keep him going in there. Every day we're opening it up. Every day we're doing, I say at least 3 modules in there. The way that they have it set up is when you open the math, there's a mastery quiz at the top if you've been using it in the past. And so I started having him go in there, take the mastery quiz, It gives him questions from sections that he's already shown that he can get 100% on that section. And so stuff he's familiar with, stuff he feels pretty comfortable with. And then if he's able to show that he can do it again, they give him a little crown to show that he's mastered it. And so it helps you start the homework time off on an up note of like, oh, I got some crowns. And every now and then he'll get some wrong and then they'll take his level down because that's showing the system that, oh, you know, you got this when you were practicing it regularly, but you haven't retained the knowledge. So we want you to go back, review it again, and then you can try to get mastery again later. And so we've incorporated that pretty recently, and I like that for a kickoff for math time. So we do our mastery quiz, then I have him do at least two sections. They have these mini sections where you do like five questions. Usually they start with a video that explains how things work. Lately, he has not wanted to watch the videos, and so he just goes in there and tries the stuff. I don't love that. But again, we're doing so many things that I'm like, okay, just go in, do two to three sections, and then we're out. So we're going to keep that going through the rest of the school year. And then in the summer, I'm hoping we can ramp it up a little bit more and really push him through that third grade content so that he is fully caught up and up to speed for fourth grade. And that will give us an opportunity to kind of follow the curriculum with the Khan Academy, hopefully get things in there before he's doing them in class. And my ultimate vision is that he would be learning it on Khan Academy, going to school, having the teacher teach it in a different way. So he'll be relearning it in class. And then when he's taking his quizzes, he's learned it with Khan Academy, he's relearned it with the teacher, he's practiced it at home, and then he takes his quiz. And then my goal is that he starts getting solid B's and A's on his quizzes, which will build his confidence. And then hopefully we'll just start getting some math momentum going. So I'm excited about that. Episode 3 on the podcast is Math Mastery 101, Simple Strategies to Help Your Child Conquer Math. And on that episode, I talk about our experience with Kumon as well as Khan Academy. So if you want to dive deeper on that, please go back and review that episode. I also found an additional resource called The Good and the Beautiful. I found them a while ago. We've used them for handwriting. One of my friends does homeschooling and she turned me on to them because she uses them for homeschooling. Recently, I looked at their fourth grade math module and they have a video series that goes with it that I love. I've shown it to Sean. He doesn't love it. He's like, they're just talking. But I am intent to try to get him to do the videos. The reason I love them is because the teacher, number one, she's a Black woman, so a woman of color. So as a Black woman, I think it's great for him to learn math from someone who comes from the same background as him. That, you know, rarely happens in school these days, unfortunately. Number two, she incorporates a lot of real world examples on history and science and nature, and she grounds the math in real world concepts. And so I love that for him. I don't know if he loves it for himself. He also said we didn't have the workbook yet. So he was like, oh, we don't even have the workbook. And so, you know, with summer, he won't be in school. So I'm going to try to lean into this. I'll let you guys know how it turns out. So that's my three-pronged approach. If things don't start going better with Kumon, we may be dropping that and just leaning into the Khan Academy and the Good and the Beautiful. My primary goal with all of these things is the Khan Academy, because I feel like if he gets through all of that, then we're good as far as him just being up to speed and ready to keep up with the content for fourth grade. So another area of growth for Sean is writing. And last summer we tried to do writing and it was one of those things that just fell through the cracks. And so I have not given up. I will try again this summer. We found these writing prompts on a website called Teachers Pay Teachers, which is basically a website where teachers go and upload worksheets they've created and different content they've created for their classes. And then other teachers can buy those materials and use them in their classes. And the curriculum we use, I'll try to find it and put it in the show notes for you guys if you're interested in it. But it gives you a series of writing prompts that are all really fun for different types of writing. So for example, for opinion, they might ask, do you feel like recess should be longer? Do you feel like students shouldn't have to do homework? So fun, provocative questions for, you know, an eight-year-old. So they ask them the questions, they get to pick which one they want to focus on, And then they give them this multi-step process for writing. So like step one is just brainstorm, free brainstorm all your ideas. Step two is like a section page where you write your topic sentence. And then you write your supporting sentences and your concluding sentences. So they break it out. And then the third phase is a rough draft where you use those pieces of the paragraph that you wrote to write a full paragraph. And then the fourth step is to go through your practice paragraph and they have them look for misspelled words and places where they forgot the syntax and different things. And so you do that and then you write your final draft. So the way we used it for the couple weeks that we used it last summer was like a 5-day process. And so each day we would do one of the steps. And then at the end of the week, you have this nice paragraph. So even though we only did it a couple times, I think it really helped him understand that he was capable of writing to be able to actually see the full process. And so my goal is to pull that back out again this year, have him work on that. I also want him to work on his handwriting again. And so we still have our handwriting workbooks. So I want to pull those back out. I got the one for Ava now. She's 2. She'll be 3 in August. So I bought their handwriting book for littles. And so I was like, oh, that's something fun they could do together, possibly. And then I also want him to learn how to type. Even as I'm saying this, I'm like, Sharia, this is a crazy list. There's so many things that I want him to learn how to do. So don't judge me, guys. I know all these things are not going to happen this summer, but typing.com has free access, I think, for everyone. And then they also have access through his school district account. And so I can't tell you how much you get with the free versus the paid option. But we started that. That was another thing we started and kind of stopped last summer. He was really motivated and loved it for like a week and a half. And then at a certain point, he didn't want to do it anymore. And we just gave up on it. But I want to re-engage him on that. He took his first state standardized test this year, and there was a typing portion. So I was getting to the point where he's going to start to need to know how to type. And so I don't know. I'll see if we can find a way to kind of gamify that and make it, you know, something exciting for him. We'll see. I'll let you guys know. And so Sean asked me actually about science. He loves science. And he was like, for our learning time, we never do any science. Why don't we do any science? And so I was like, okay. So this year, I think we are going to incorporate some science. I ordered The Good and the Beautiful. I ordered their space module. I'm not sure if that's what it's called, but it's, you know, space, planets, things like that. My goal is to kind of work through that. They said there's some videos in there. There's a science museum we love. And so I want to take him there where he can kind of go deeper with some of the topics. I want to buy him a telescope, just a kid telescope. He can start looking. So I'm like, okay, we can do science and make it fun. I actually just bought a science kit for one of his friends for his birthday. That was like a magic experiment kit. And I was like, oh, that would be fun. So I may go back and grab that for him. But since that's something he's asked for and he likes science, I was like, we should try to do more of that. And so I'll try to wrap some of that into our learning time. For reading, Sean is a really strong reader. And so I just want to keep going with what we've been doing. He has his fun books that he reads on his own. We also have our reading time at night before bed. And that's where I pick a book from his Kumon reading list. The Kumon reading list is free online. I'll drop a link to that as well in the show notes, where you can go and just see what books that they're recommending. They're usually older books, kind of classics. The covers look really boring a lot of the times, but then they're really interesting. And so I have to kind of force him to read those. And a lot of it's me reading to him in our reading time. But I want to get him used to books that don't have pictures and that are more meaty and deeper. And so we use that as our pre-bedtime routine. And so we'll keep going with that, but there won't be much intensive work for reading. Oh, I guess I should say he is in the reading module of Kumon. And so he's doing that. It's reading, it's writing. And so he will keep getting that enrichment as well. Even if we drop the Kumon math, because it's so stressful lately, we would still keep him in the reading for Kumon. All right. So those are all the academic components that we're working on. We also have him going to camps during the day in the summer. My approach to camps are picking week-long camps. This year, we're doing 3 weeks at the Arboretum. And then we're doing 2 weeks at my friend's son's private school. The Arboretum ones are all science camps. And then the ones at his friend's school, like one of them is like a Nintendo camp. I don't know what they're doing for that. And then there's a theater camp. He really likes theater. I feel like those are all the camps that we're signed up for right now. Then we have 1 week that's like a family vacation. 1 week is 4th of July, so I'm off a few days. And then he has a couple of unstructured weeks. So that'll probably be a mix of like grandma's house and being home. But that's how I kind of structure our weeks, make it a little more affordable because I don't book out his whole summer, but I buy higher price camps for the weeks that we do. Over the years, we've done a ton of different types of camps. We've done daycare camp, which was nice because they keep daycare hours, so your kid can stay there until like 6 p.m. The one that we went to, I wasn't really sure what they were learning, and so that's why we kind of went away from that. But we've done the zoo. I've looked at the science museum. We haven't done that one yet. We've done a lot of sports camps. He did not want to do sports camps this year, but we've done basketball camp. We've done football camp in other years. So there's a ton of fun stuff that kids can do in the summer. Help them make friends, get off the couch, get some enrichment. If you're looking for online options, there's a website called OutSchool. And it basically has a bunch of tutors on there, and they have classes you can sign up for, like 1 hour classes. We have not used OutSchool, so I can't recommend particular things on there, but they have serious classes, they have silly classes. A lot of them are like $15 per class. So if your kid will be at home all summer or maybe at grandma's house all summer, and you want to make sure they're still getting some enrichment and some engagement, that may be a good option to try out. If you try it, let me know what you thought. So that was a lot, friends. There are a lot of ideas embedded in there. I hope you got some inspiration for what you might want to do for this summer. Again, think about where your kids struggled, where they have gaps, how you might help fill those gaps. And even if you just pick one thing, like even if you just say, okay, my child struggled with math, we're going to go ahead and figure out this Khan Academy thing, get them in there, get them some daily 15, 20 minutes of practice. That's good. Like, you don't have to. I hope by sharing all these things, I didn't make you feel like you had to do 32 things, because like I said, I'm not going to end up doing 32 things. But the most important thing is that your kids are doing something. We don't want them to just check out for the summer. Maybe that's what it was like for us when we were kids, but we don't want our kids to just be hanging out. We want them to have things to do that give them an opportunity to work their brains. Even if we just keep them at the level that they were at the end of the last school year, that's a win. There was no summer slide. I want the summer slingshot for you, but I know that we have to be realistic. We have jobs. We have other things pulling at us. Kids do need a mental break, but at least giving them that daily, you know, 15 minutes of math, 15 minutes of reading to keep them on level is going to make a difference. So come up with a plan, do something, and let me know how it goes, okay? Thanks again for being with me, friends. If you liked this episode, you thought the resources were good and helpful, I hope you will share them with a friend who's trying to figure out summer for their own kid. You can go wherever you are listening to this episode and click the share button. You should be able to copy the link for the episode and then just share it. You can send it in a text message, an email. I really do believe that if you and your friends and your family implement some of these activities, one of these activities is going to make a big difference. All right. I hope to see you all again real soon.